Hey everyone, you are tuning in to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for America's Got Talent. Tonight we're going to be chatting about more of the audition, so stay tuned, you don't want to miss it.
You're tuning in to the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for America's Got Talent. We are being graced by Celine Tam's voice. We will chat about her in just a little bit. I am your host. My name is Danny Golub, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danny Golub. Fellow panelists, while you try not to cry while listening to the song, where can
classic.
They find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Liza.Rubin, and my heart will always go on.
I hope your heart does go on, because mine will too. My name is Anissa Barr. You can find me at Anissa Barr with three R's at the end.
So while we have her up, let's talk about her, because we're listening to her right now. Her name is Celine Tam, and her sister is named Dion Tam. So her family obviously is a large Celine Dion group. Mm-hmm. She sang this song. She's 9 years old. She sang My Heart Will Go On, and she was absolutely spectacular. I was blown away by her control that she had. We were talking about it a little bit before we went on air. Mm-hmm. I have to talk about how interesting it was to watch Simon watch her. Mm-hmm. Because he's such a trained ear for this kind of stuff, like listening for talent, and he can tell raw talent at such a young age that mm-hmm. watching him see what he saw in her was so unique.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I want to know exactly what he's looking for.
Thinking,
obviously,
yeah.
for pitch and, you know, the sound, but I wonder what's going through his head when he's listening.
It was amazing. He like looks away and like presses that on his ear. Like he really has an ear for it. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that was so interesting. What do you guys think of her act in specific?
Well, with Simon thinking about it, what I imagine what he's probably doing is, like you said, he's probably turning his head, you know, turning his head away, trying to listen, not trying to focus. Okay, this is a little girl. This is 9 year old. I want to hear the voice. I don't want to see the vision of this person. Overall, I thought she did pretty well. When I first heard it, I was like, oh, it doesn't – I wanted to compare it to Celine Dion. I was like, okay, I want to compare it to Celine Dion. But then as I kept rewatching it, trying to give her more chances, I'm like, okay, then at 9 years old, mm-hmm. that's some Christina Aguilera stuff.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. It was kind of hard not to compare – well, obviously, you can't compare it to Celine Dion.
Nobody can.
Covering someone like Celine Dion is a hard feat.
Exactly.
To be able to do that at nine is definitely impressive.
Especially when her entire act and her family were centered around Dion. I mean, her younger sister's name is Dion. That's crazy.
I
thought she was unreal, though. I was kind of skeptical at first, especially when she said she was going to sing Celine, just because she's so, you know, it's hard to cover. It's mm-hmm. hard to get to that, you know, kind of place with your voice. But
it is.
I thought she was unreal.
Yeah, and I think that, like, Simon was also probably listening for how good this girl is going to be with coaching, like with proper voice coaching, which
right.
I'm sure she hasn't had because she's so young. And like, mm-hmm. even if she has, like, I doubt she's really been able to take too much of it yet. So I think that being able to have an ear for this is talent and it has so much potential is like mm-hmm. what Simon is really good at.
Yeah. I just wonder, you think that's what he thinks that was what he was thinking when he heard One Direction or any of the other acts?
Yeah, like Kelly Clarkson. I mean, last season when he heard Grace VanderWaal and she ended up winning the $1 million, mm-hmm. and Grace is like a huge star now. She has over a million followers on Instagram.
Yep.
Like, she's huge. And all because of this show, she got the first Golden Buzzer last year. And Simon, the second he heard her, was like, I believe we found the next Taylor Swift. Like,
right.
you are a pure God-given talent. And she wrote all her own music, and he made her into a star. And, like, he really is good at doing that. And I think that's what's interesting about him is American Idol and now AGT and, like, X Factor, which is One Direction, are some of the shows that you get real celebrities out of. Like, as much as I love The Voice and I cover that panel, I watch it every season, mm-hmm. there hasn't been anyone that's come out of that show that's, like, Jennifer Hudson, Carrie Underwood,
no.
One Direction, Grace VanderWaal.
Yeah.
Like, Simon finds celebrities,
yeah.
like stars.
And I think the difference between The Voice and America's Got Talent, X Factor, and American Idol is because The Voice, I feel, in my opinion, that they're more focused on the celebrities than more than just The Voice. Because I watch The Voice, but I don't know anyone that is a star.
You care more about the coaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that show cares more about the coaches than the star. Other than when you have America's Got Talent, you have Simon, who is probably one of the greatest
producers.
Yeah, it's like, whoa.
I think having the coaches be singers does make it so, like, it's kind of about both. Like, the coaches are always performing, and they're performing with the artists,
right.
and so, yeah, there is a little bit more of that, whereas, like, Heidi Klum's not gonna, like, do a magic act, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I do agree in that sense. Anyway, moving on. Celine was great. I'm very excited to see more from her. Excited to see if she's like only going to cover Celine Dion or if she's going to venture out. Different.
I hope she does Adele. If she has that good of a voice, I hope she does Adele.
I mean, I'm also interested to see oftentimes with these shows, they do get them like proper coaching and they get, you know, like all these shows have like a full staff of people. So I'm interested to see if she like gets a lot better because she does have a lot of potential.
Well, if Simon's there, so he makes stars.
Simon makes it happen. Anyway, the Men with Pans comedy duo was who were up first, and so they were naked and they were dancing with pans. I think we're seeing or hearing a bit of them right now. Simon and Mel both gave them X's. What did you guys think?
I don't know. I think it's honestly, I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was so dumb, but so hilarious. So I definitely think it appeals to a certain kind of audience.
Oh,
obviously,
yeah.
Simon was probably like, that's so stupid. He did say that. But I don't know. There's something so comical about it.
What I mean, the audience was laughing.
They were, like, hysterical. Would I want to see it in Vegas? Would I pay to see that? To be honest, I'd probably pay for Thunder from Down Under.
You wouldn't pay to see this in Vegas, but you would see it on the streets in Vegas.
Yeah, in the streets in Vegas. They can make some good pocket change off of that one.
Oh, man. I'm going to Vegas in a few months now. I'm scared. This was very cringy. I was like, I feel like I was like, okay, I got to watch, but then I was like, I don't want to watch. And then you never know, something
could
well, it did. And things did slip. But when you look at it in Howie's perspective, it was so comedy. He thought it was hilarious. He thought this was gold. He probably thought this would make some good money. But at the end of the day, this is a family show. And I'm surprised they were able to have this on a family show, even though it covered their areas. But it was just everything. It was still cringy to me.
Yeah, it was a bit silly. I mean, this is the kind of thing that I feel like could do funny bits on YouTube or like would have a funny Vine channel or something. But like, I don't know how appropriate it is for like a TV show, but yeah, we'll see. Anyway, next up was the Just Jerk dance group. They were the South Korean group. They were in those like cool karate uniforms. Mm-hmm. And what was so interesting about them was how they talked about how it's kind of their last chance to dance all together because a lot of them are going to like the military, which similar to like the Israeli army, it seems like, which I have some familiarity with. Like everyone, I guess, at a certain age goes. But they were pretty cool. It was like robotic hip hop kind of dance. What do you guys think?
I felt like it was more like I was at a rave, and they were giving me like the hand rave moves a little bit, but like live, like you know what they're doing, and I'm just like, oh, am I supposed to be in a rave too? Like with their moves, I don't know, just the music.
I don't know. I thought it was so cool. I thought they were so in sync, really, which is really hard to master. Mm-hmm. Their floor work was amazing, and I love that they brought a little bit of South Korea into it. They brought their own culture into it.
Yeah,
so,
they did.
What I'm wondering though is that you mentioned how they're going. Some of them are going to the military, and some of them are going to not be, you know, around to do this. What say some miracle happens and they do win, and what's going to happen?
Well, maybe I don't know. My thought process when they said that was that like this was the last time that they would have that time to do it. You know what I mean? So maybe like they are all in like a year from now. Who knows?
Okay.
I'm sure they've like kind of planned that out, but maybe they have some like understudies. Who knows? Anyway, next up was Anthony Pinoso. He is a lawyer who is now a singer, and he's in his 50s and sang for his, like, wife that was 25 years younger than him. He was apparently the fastest four X's that has ever happened on AGT. Mm-hmm. And as much as, like, it was a bit tragic and I felt bad, I hate the booing. It's kind of sad.
Harsh. It's harsh.
I feel bad. Like, whenever someone gets booed off stage, I'm like, that must hurt their heart. Because these people, like, are going out there and they're putting themselves on stage and it's brave.
They really think they're good. And the judges give really horrible faces. Listen, I'm all for a good Simon Cowell hard no. But at the same time, it's kind of like he really did think he was a good singer, so it kind of breaks my heart a little bit.
Like, obviously, it's not what's going to win the show, and they do show a bit of this, like they did on American Idol. Like, you show a couple of the funny ones just for kicks and giggles, but what do you think?
I just think that that's what they did, was we're going to put you on because we need more people to watch the show. They probably felt like people obviously will boo him, and they did, mm-hmm. and it was just something that they just added to the show.
Yeah. Once the crowd starts going, they, like, get all egged on together, and they all start booing, and then I'm like, no.
Yeah.
but, yeah, anyway, moving on from him. I mean, obviously, he got X'd off. He's not going to be back. But, I mean, good for him for putting himself out there and being brave enough to get on that
exactly,
stage.
Exactly, because I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, same.
At least he has a law degree to fall back on.
Yeah, right? He always could be a lawyer, and he's got a young, hot wife, so good
That's
for him.
True.
He's
yeah.
living the life. Anyway, next up was J.J. Phipps, a musician who I also, to be honest, wasn't crazy about. He, like, I don't say this in a mean way, but I didn't feel like he was 100% sober when he was, like, he had this piano tied around his neck, and he was, like, doing screamo kind of music, and Heidi X'd him. Like, I would have for sure X'd him if I had the opportunity to. I'm, like, always giving out golden buzzers because I love everyone, but, like, this one, I was like, no. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I thought it was kind of ridiculous, and part of me thinks that Mel B feels bad, or I don't even know, because she gives a yes to some of the weirdest acts that wouldn't have a chance. So, I don't know, a lot of me disagrees with Mel for the most part.
She's a softie.
She is a softie, yeah. And I don't know, I'm more on Simon's, you know, you either got talent or you don't, so get off the stage.
Well, while we're talking about Simon, real quick, we have a Twitter poll up right now, and it was the Twitter poll of our panel's choice for the night. Is Simon hot? Yes or no? I say yes.
What'd you
Everyone?
Say?
Everyone?
I say yeah. Simon.
And?
No.
No. Okay,
no.
So we're split here. So no. Feel free to go vote on Twitter and share your thoughts with us in the comments if you're interested. But, yeah, I think Simon's hot. For some reason, like, the whole, like, power and, like, kind of hot dad thing
he's
got
dilf.
Going on now.
He's
yeah. It's working for him. I actually really like seeing this soft side because we were talking a bit about like how in American Idol he was very rigid and always mean. Like seeing this kind of warmer side of him on AGT is making me like love him.
Because he finally
true.
Got a kid.
Yeah,
that's true.
His heart, I feel like, yes, he's still really harsh and he's critical, but like I feel like it's in the right moments and he also knows how to like be very loving like with some of the golden buzzers. He gave a golden buzzer to Mandy Harvey. She was on last week's episode, which we missed, so we could talk about it really quick. She is a deaf singer, and she writes her own music, and it was just the most beautiful story. She lost her hearing when she was 18, mm-hmm. and now she's 29, so she hasn't had hearing for, like, 10 years. She didn't sing for quite some time, and now she's singing again because she figured out how to feel the vibrations through the floor, mm-hmm. which is just absolutely amazing. And Simon gave her the golden buzzer, and I was, like, waterworks. I was mm-hmm. sobbing at my desk watching this, but this is a moment where I'm like, this is the Simon that I love that is, like, so passionate about what he does and really does genuinely care about these artists.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, she sounded like everything was perfectly fine. Like, she just...
You would
know.
Never know.
Exactly.
You would never know.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, she's great, but in my opinion, I don't think she deserved the golden buzzer because she has a great voice, but I still wanted to see a little bit more of different songs that she can challenge because she is, you know, deaf and I want to see what other music she can adapt to while,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. going to progressing more.
I That's think true. The only reason I would hesitate about any of these golden buzzers is because they're like all singers and that happens a lot on this show because I feel like they're really easy to have like an emotional pull with it, which always does get the golden buzzer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's always like a couple like big amazing dance acts that get it and then there's always like a couple singers that get it but like you never see the really good magician get it or like the really good comedian and mm-hmm. I'm like those are why I watch this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it sometimes is a little unfortunate for me because I could watch The Voice, I could watch American Idol, I could watch every competition show on TV if I want to see singing.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
It's I always right. find that like they kind of get all the golden buzzers so then those people, you know, kind of get the biggest like followings off the bat, the most views on YouTube, and so yeah, there is a bit of a dichotomy there, mm-hmm. but you know, anyway, that was a golden buzzer from last week. The next group up today while we're talking about singing, Danelle Damon and the Greater Works. This was the choir group that like really got me going. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that gets me going like a good gospel choir. I loved it. That main woman, they sang This Little Light of Mine, a really cool reworked version of that. I always love when they're like able to rearrange music in a really cool way. But I had like the chills. What do you guys think about this?
I felt like this was like Sister Act Part 5.
Yeah.
I was like so into it. I felt like, you know, praise the Lord. Jesus was like just like, you know, what how he said, you took a Jew to church.
Yeah.
Oh. And I thought that was really cool.
No, can
Hello,
I tell
guilty.
You? Same. I've been to gospel. I'm Jewish, but I've been to gospel church, and it is just so fun. It's so energetic, and I loved it. I thought they did something so different with it, and I wanted to sing along. I didn't know the song, obviously, but
this
I wanted to sing along.
Love it.
I don't.
I love it. Anyway, yeah, they were amazing. I always find it really impressive when they can make that like lead singer in a choir stand out but also like support her so well. I hate when like the choir is really amazing but then the lead doesn't like carry it well. This woman was a powerhouse. She was
passionate.
So good. Like she made me feel the music. It was a really really good performance.
And one thing I liked about this is that they all, it wasn't just like a typical choir that you usually see just sitting down. They're just moving.
Dancing,
and then they mix their own little beat to it, which was awesome.
There was choreography. There was like, ooh! Yeah. And there was like things happening.
They were frozen for a second.
Yeah, they were.
But that's kind of what I loved about it, is they made everyone feel so included, and there was no separation of you're this,
energy,
you're not.
Yeah.
Everyone just wanted to be included, which is great.
I really loved it.
I want to go to their church.
Same, whatever. Yeah. Well, they're also from all over the country, which I found so impressive, because I was like, what, do you rehearse this over Skype? Like, how do you, like get your notes, so yeah, they were like so on pitch the whole time. It was really fun to watch. Next up was Evie Claire, and while we're just talking about all these, as I'm thinking about them, I'm just like, this is why I watch AZT. Like, these are good act after good act after good act. Like, I feel like maybe the first week was like a little bit slower for me, but I feel like the show has really picked up since then. This next act, we're going to talk about Evie Claire. She's the 13-year-old girl who sang Arms by Christina Perry, and we said she sounds so similar to her. She was singing for her dad, who is suffering from stage 4 colon cancer, which is just a very, very sad story. And it was, like, really heartbreaking to watch her, you know, like, get through that story on stage. But I thought her voice was, like, really airy and, like, whimsical and kind of reminded me of, like, you know, Florence and the Machines kind of. It was cool. What do you guys think?
What'd you think?
I thought it was different. I loved her. I'm going to be honest, it didn't quite do it for me. I thought she was so cute. I thought she was so brave. I mean, obviously she was, you know, crying.
Yeah, getting up there
up,
and saying that story.
But once she started singing, she really lit up. It didn't faze her, and she completely had the confidence to go through with the song. I don't know if it was the song choice or, you know, I don't know. She was great. Just, I wish I could have seen a little bit more.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I agree. I think the song didn't have, like, a lot of, like, long runs or...
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Like I said, she sounded just like the singer. I hope we see different songs from her than just this type of flow of music.
It's a calm.
Very calm, very relaxing. I feel like I could just drive, you know, on Huntington
Beach.
Definitely
a driving song.
You know, yeah, going to the beach type of, you know, flow of her voice. And I really, honestly, I did enjoy it.
Yeah, I do. I agree. And I think that the only problem is like, there are so many talented singers this year in this competition, and so many of them are such powerhouses that it sometimes is hard for someone with, like, a kind of more quiet voice to stand out from that crowd. So I guess we'll have to see what else she's able to bring to the table. I'm glad she made it through. Yeah. We'll get to see more from her. And, yeah, she was very cute, too. She's really cute. She's from this, like, town with no people in Arizona. They only have, like, have a jail, and, like, you have to drive 30 minutes to get milk. Next up was Darcy Callis, and he sang a really cool rearranged version of God Only Knows and played it on piano. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. I really think it's special when an artist can take a cover and make it sound so different than the original in the best way possible. Because, like, the Beach Boys are iconic, and it's, like we were talking about with Celine Dion, it could be kind of hard to cover someone who is such a legend. So to be able to make it your own, I think helps. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I want to buy that cover.
Yeah, exactly.
I easily want to go download the cover right now. I mean, I love the Beach Boys, so I have a soft spot for them.
Yeah.
But he honestly was incredible, and that would go on my chill album in Spotify.
Yeah.
I find this really, really, really entertaining because the Beach Boys is a group.
Yeah.
And he's just, the kid is just one singer. And him to manage the different, you know,
harmonies and stuff,
exactly, was really different and very inspiring to be able to
I
do
agree.
That.
There was someone on The Voice this season named Hunter Plake, and he was able to kind of take songs that are classics and rearrange them to his own. And I always bought his song on iTunes. So on The Voice, they let you buy their versions on iTunes. Here, they unfortunately don't. I wish they would with the singers because that was such a cool version, and I really would want that one myself.
Yeah, something out of American's Got Talent, I was watching, like, Ireland's Got Talent, and this little boy was singing an Ed Sheeran song, and it sang it beautifully, and I wanted to buy it.
I know.
But you can't, because, you know.
I can just play the YouTube version over and over and then have to, like, listen to Tyra Banks talk at the end. Like, thanks for subscribing. Anyway, next up was Bello Knock, who's a circus performer, and I love acts like this on AGT because you really only see them here. There was someone, the Ukrainian guy a few years ago, who did the giant ladders, and he climbed up really high ladders like this, and he actually had a horrific fall on the live show.
Oh,
so
no.
I was nervous this whole time because I was like, please don't happen again. I think Simon was probably doing the same thing. You always see Simon, like, shaking in his boots because he's like, I don't want to get sued.
Right.
But he's a circus performer. He went on this super tall pole, and I'm afraid of heights, so watching it, like, swing and have him hang was, like, making my stomach turn inside out. But I guess that's, like, why you watch the show, because where else are you going to see this on TV,
That's true. Okay, I have to be biased again. I don't like clowns. I never have. They kind of scare me. So part of me is always, like, a little disappointed when we see a clown. I agree he was a little bit different. But as we talked about before, it's really hard to get that wow factor, especially when you've seen so many auditions and so many amazing, you know, people that do stunts like this. So he claimed to be, I think, the daredevil comedian. And that he was, but it didn't wow me. I commend him for climbing up, I think it was a light lamp or a pole that's so
really
large.
High.
Yeah, tall up. But it didn't do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This was so cool. I was like, oh, my gosh, you're going to climb that? And I was so intrigued on how he climbed it because that takes a lot of time.
You have to be
out
strong.
Of your day. Yeah,
he
do
was
that.
Fast.
But, like, his personality kind of reminded me of, like, a Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah.
So does. I was like, I cringed a little bit with it because I was like, that's a little weird.
Oh, Pee Wee.
But I love Daredevil stuff. I love all that, you know, crazy stuff.
Yeah,
so
usually AGT has, like, a whole Daredevil episode where we get to go outside and, like, see people, like, do car stunts and stuff. So maybe we'll
have
to see
cool.
more scary things. He's also a seventh generation performer, which I thought was kind of cool. You mentioned that in his intro. Like,
that's cool.
I'm a seventh generation nothing. So.
Yeah. And he's a grandpa.
Yeah, at 47
what
years old.
Do you know that can do that?
My grandpa cannot. Bless his soul, but no. Nope. Next up was the hottie magician, Tom London. Mm. He is a British, like, where did he come from? He is so cute. He is unreal. So he did this trick that for anyone who's watched in the past, he kind of reminds me a bit of Collins Key from a few seasons ago. He does these tricks where he kind of has a number already written on a whiteboard that's pre-recorded beforehand, kind of gathers the numbers throughout, mm-hmm. and then puts it up on the board. What do you guys think? I mean, it was, like, really just mind-blowing.
It was crazy. Okay, well, first I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Tom London or Simon Cowell? Which is hotter?
Oh, my gosh. Don't even. My British boys.
She goes for the Brits.
I guess I'd have to go with Simon just because, like, you know, I feel like I've known him for longer.
Yeah.
History.
You guys have
history.
Better past.
We have history. I mean, Tom is like a new fling, whereas Simon's like a long-time love.
So. Watch out, Simon.
What about you?
Simon.
There you go. Simon. You'd probably say Tom because you don't like Simon anyway.
No, I pick none.
Uh-oh.
I'm none.
Uh-oh.
I like Irishmen.
There we go. Back to the act. Anyway, he was incredible. I mean, he gathered, like, a number from each person. The audience had, like, I don't even know. It was like, mind-blowing. And he had all the phones involved and the math.
Yeah, that's what I don't get, is the phones. Because everyone kind of raised their phone in the air. And then he was able to kind of do this with his hands, and it all changed a different color. And then he only made some turn red. It was crazy. I have no idea.
What I loved about this is, like, when you involve the entire audience like that, you know, and, like, picking random people, you know that they're not, like, planted. You know what I mean? Because I always wonder with magicians, I'm like, well, did they know that person was going to be there? This time it was, like, the entire group and both the judges and random people from the audience. So I felt like it was, like, super real. And the video that was recorded was, like, obviously on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
This was, like, I was really mind blown that he got Howie Mandel's anniversary when Heidi Klum
modeled mm-hmm.
Mel B's record. Mm-hmm. And then I forgot Simon. What did he...
Simon, how many artists?
Oh, yeah, 47 or something like that. But the fact that he was able to do that, I'm just like, oh crap! I would never guess.
Those are just random numbers, but, like, he also didn't get those numbers himself. He got them from other people. So it's, like, somewhere between magic and mentalism. Like,
mm-hmm.
he with mentalism, it's like you kind of. I feel like those mentalists convince people to say and do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was another magician. Collins Cloud. I think he might have also been British, actually. I'm not quite sure. But he had the white cat Oscar thing that was in the box and had the, like, coins. And so he did some, like, modern-day Sherlock Holmes guy. He kind of did some mentalism as well that was also somewhere between mentalism and magic. But what I liked about Tom London's is, like, how big of a performance value it has. It kind of, like, filled the whole room. And sometimes when it's just one person on a stage, I'm like, well, could this really be a Vegas show? It's just one guy standing down there. Like, is that really going to fill the space of a huge arena? But this did, because he involved everyone's phones. He went out on the street. It was a video, a whiteboard, like big things that really, like Blake Voigt, when he did his magic, like he went from one area of the amphitheater all the way across. It's like being able to do stuff like that makes it worth somebody's money.
Right, to include everyone in the room. And also what I liked about him is that he kind of brings it to the modern age. I mean, I don't know of any magician or mentalist that uses technology to their, you know, power in a trick. So, I mean, it was an original trick. He made it up himself, and he said that he got a lot of the influence from his dad. He used to work with computers a lot and programming. So I just thought that was so cool.
I think this is a Vegas show that I would watch if he includes the audience, because this is not a one-man show. This is more of an audience.
Yeah, he seems like he's going to do that, and I'm really excited to see what else he has in store, because it seems like he probably has a lot of tricks up his sleeves, pun intended. Next up was the De Niro guy impersonator. He impersonated, like, I don't know, Jack Nicholson, and, like, all these different celebrities. He got X'd, and he got a lot of booze again, which always, like, kind of breaks my heart, but I didn't particularly like it. What did you guys think?
I mean, I'm a De Niro fan, but what I liked about it is that he kept in character the entire time.
Committed.
You know, he kind of had a sucky act, but when everyone started booing at him, he was like, what is that? What is that? I don't know. He obviously did it better than I did.
He definitely committed.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if we could see it as a Vegas show. I mean, obviously he got X'd, but I could see him outside of, you know,
again,
the Bellagio.
Another Vegas street performer.
Walking around by Winnie the Pooh.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
We get that on Hollywood Boulevard, though.
We do. That's true. Let's hang here.
He doesn't have to travel far.
We'll keep him.
This act, I liked it in the beginning, kind of reminded me of an old school 90s mob type of look. His voice and everything, but then when he got to his act, I'm just like, okay, now I don't get it, because what you were doing in the beginning had a lot of laughs, made Howie laugh, and I got into it a little bit, and then when he started doing the voiceovers, I just didn't get it.
Kind of lost it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of when the audience started booing him as well, so.
That's true.
You know, I mean, best of luck to him and his future endeavors. I think, like, if anything, these guys get, like, a huge platform to get their, like, even smaller careers started. They get to be in front of millions of people, like, in homes all across the country and world, if you count YouTube and stuff. So, hey, any publicity is decent publicity. People are going to forget he was booed and remember that he was on AGT. You know what I mean?
Right.
Someone will see him on the street and be like, oh, I remember seeing you. So, oh, well, good for him. anyway, our golden buzzer of last night was the Light Balance Dancers. They were so freaking cool. I mean, my mouth was, like, jaw-dropped to the ground the whole time. What a cool group. Like, this is why I watched this show, to see stuff like this. They were so unique and different. They're, like, this Ukrainian group. I would 100% pay to see this in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
The music mix was amazing. What do you guys think?
Like I said before, before we went on air, this reminds me of a modern day Jabberwockies.
Yeah,
I think I said their name right. This was the most entertaining thing I've ever seen when it comes to reality TV. Like I said in the beginning, I want that girl to win. That girl's gonna win. I changed my mind.
Change your mind.
I think these guys are going to win.
New winner for
Anissa. I think they definitely have potential to win.
Yeah.
And, like, when I was watching this, I didn't know how many of them there were.
No, me neither. I thought there was, like, four
or
five.
Just, can you imagine how hard it is to get the synchronicity of, you know, the dance moves and the lights and to not bump into each other? That's what
it's
I would have a problem with. I'd smash into everyone if I couldn't see anything.
It's dark, too. You can't see. I know.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I just wanted to take a close-up of their outfits, too, and how they were able to kind of make it go and sync. I don't know. I loved it. It's even hard to talk about while we're watching it, because I'm just trying to focus so hard on it.
It honestly is, like, one of the core things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And Tyra gave them the golden buzzer, which I thought was fun, because, you know, she doesn't technically, I don't think, have one, but she just kind of ran out there and gave it, because I think if she didn't give it, someone else should have, because they were very well-deserving. The only thing that bums me out about that is now we don't get to see them until the live show.
That's right.
A shame, because, like, I want to see them next week, and the week after, and the week
after.
But
then that's a good thing, too, because then now we get to be like, okay, now we cannot wait to see these guys.
Yeah. I think, like, it'll be cool to to see how they do live as well, because they get to go straight to the live shows. Yeah. And so it'll be interesting to see, like, how they mix it up.
And also with them, they have a lot of time to practice and to learn different techniques and moves and music and all that fun stuff to be at the live
and
show.
And while we're talking about Golden Buzzers, there's one more that we hadn't touched on. Christian Gordino, he's the 16-year-old, and he sang Who's Loving You by the Jackson 5, and Howie gave him the Golden Buzzer. By the way he looked and, like, how nervous he was, I so did not see that voice coming out of that body.
He's so sweet.
He's so sweet. He was very, very talented, though. He, like, commanded the room.
Yeah. Right, but that's what I love is, you know, I obviously feel so bad, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, are they, you know, going to belt it out? Yeah, is he going to be okay? Is he going to faint? Is he going to cry? But they walk out, and they're kind of, you know, a different person. They're kind of more subdued and shy. And then you see their talent just brings out this confidence in them.
It does,
like,
yeah.
He sounded like a completely different person. It felt like a different person when he was singing. So you can see how much of this, you know, talent is a part of their lives. And it's just what they love to do. And they wouldn't be themselves without it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that, like, he may not be the most confident guy walking around. I said he didn't really even tell any of his friends he was doing this, but, like, his friends are going to be calling him now because he just, like, got the Golden Buzzer on AGT and made himself the coolest kid in school.
Especially with talent like this, you always see somebody at least very shy because they're probably like, whoa, like, I've never really performed in front of a big audience like this.
So that's huge, probably.
He was so nervous. And then all of a sudden, he sings beautifully, and you're just like, oh my gosh, like, now you wonder why he was so, were you so nervous before?
It makes me think, like, when I'm, like, at work, or, like, does someone have, like, an amazing talent I don't know about? Like, is my boss, like, casually, like, an amazing dancer or something?
Yeah, he does. Yes, when you're not in there.
Who knows? You know, you never know. Like, you would never think just by looking at this kid that he'd have this, like, crazy, powerful voice. And then there's one more act I just feel like I have to talk about that we missed last week. I apologize. Everyone was traveling. Things were happening. We missed some acts, but we're back now. Tony and Jordan, the identical twins who did magic, they did iPad magic, which has to be so perfectly choreographed and on time, and they did it so well, and I thought it was so cool that they started with just Tony, and then Jordan comes out from the woodworks, and then they had another set of identical twins come out towards the end. Like, the synchronization between the sleight of hand and the iPad magic and the choreography had to be, like, perfect.
Oh, yeah. Can I tell you, in the beginning, I saw one of the twins, and then I think I took a bite of my dinner and I looked up, I swear, and there was two people and I was like, I don't remember there being two people, but maybe I just didn't see it. And it just shows you how fast and how precise their timing was. I was just amazed. And they were pulling out of the screen and throwing things back into the screen and the weather, it was crazy.
It really was.
Well, I feel like I should watch this act because I didn't see it.
We missed this one. This one was amazing. It's definitely one to check out. I think that they are going to go far in this competition. So from tonight's acts, let's do some predictions. Where do we think out of this group are we going to have some people that go all the way to the end?
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
Happy to go first. obviously, I'm going to stay away from the Golden Buzzers because I think we all can agree that the light balanced dancers are going far. I see Tom London going very far out of this group from tonight. I think that people love this kind of magic, and once it gets to the live shows, people will vote for that kind of magic, because sometimes the close-up magic, like we saw the guy last week with the coins, that was amazing with the rose petals. As cool as that was, this, I think, like, attracts like a wider audience because it's so big and it has such a huge production value, and I think there's so much more you could do with it, that I see him making it to be like one of the final magicians, at least on the show.
That's true. I'm gonna head kind of in that direction. I'm gonna go with Colin Cloud. The way I kind of judge the acts is by my attention span, because sometimes, like, I'm looking at the TV and I'm like, I'm glued, and other times
it's easy to, like, get distracted and, like, look at your phone and look down. Yeah,
exactly. But he had my attention the entire time. I loved his trick. The whole time I was just wondering, how does he do that? And I probably should have Googled mentalist, because I wanted to know.
A part of me, like, when I watch them, I don't want to know, but I also want to know so badly.
Yeah.
When Blake Voigt was here last year on AfterBuzz, he did a trick, and I was like, how do you do it? No, don't tell me.
It's like, you want to keep it a secret, but you want to know.
I've never looked any of them up either, because, like, I always think, I was like, well, I can, and I can know how they do this. The only one that I actually ever looked up was the Clairvoyants from last season, because I needed to know. They like, did some crazy stuff. If you guys haven't seen them, check them out on YouTube. They were the second place of last season, and I, like, had to know
how they did
stuff. It's not even verified because they kind of, like, make up their own tricks too, so, like, it's just speculation, but
Yeah. I don't know. I loved Colin also because he has that Criss Angel factor, and I'm a huge Criss Angel mind freak.
Kind of like a weird.
Yeah.
Vibe,
so I could. I don't know. I want him to come up to me near the Luxor in Vegas and just be like, "Patrick, say a word." Yeah. Exactly.
Which one?
I think the girl that we had at the last name. I totally.
Celine Tam.
Yeah. No. Oh. The last one of this episode with her dad living in the house. She lives in a small town.
Evie.
There we go. I think she will go far in this competition.
Evie Claire.
I predict that she'll probably be in the top 10.
You think?
Top 10. Oh, okay. At least top 10.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it. I definitely could. I think that if she, like, switches up and does some, you know, more powerful songs, mm-hmm. if she has the capability to do that with her voice, she definitely could make it quite far. Yeah. Well, if anyone would like to continue the conversation with us on Twitter, Instagram, anywhere, please tweet us, call us, anything, email, text, if you must.
If you have our phone numbers.
Yeah, if you want to find me on anywhere on the internet, you can find me at Danny Golub. And fellow friends, where can they find you?
Well, my name is Anissa Barr. You can find me at Anissa Barr with 3 R's at the end.
And my name is Liza Rubin. You can find me on Instagram at Liza.Rubin.
And you can always chat to us in the comments below. We will always have a look and comment back. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you again next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.